All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. November the 6th, 2024. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is the day after the big election. Oh, boy. Trump won. I don't know. Some people are not happy. Some people are happy. Typical. But it is what it is. I was just on the phone with my buddy, you know, and I was looking at my Facebook and sort of checking in with people. And of course, everyone's, you know, making their big statements and stuff. And I was talking to my friend on the phone and I go, you know, regardless, I mean, it's still, right? That's, I think, one of the issues with people is that they're all wanting a savior. They all want someone to save us. And yeah, it's nice. But I still have to play a part in my life, right? We still have to, be accountable. And, I'm not going to say people aren't. There's been times in my life I haven't been. There's been times in my life recently where I haven't been. I'm not perfect. But I do recognize that all the problems that happened to me today are my own fault. And if I want those problems to be different or change, I have to participate in the change, right? We've learned about the border. We've learned about the wars. We've learned about the food. We've learned about a lot of stuff. I do feel, I don't know if it's my age. This is probably one of the more, the most I've paid attention to an election and the topics in the election than I have in any other one. But I do know that every election, it feels like it's the end of the world and someone wins and we move on. And, I was laying on the couch, I was sitting on the couch last night watching some of this stuff. And I just thought to myself, I'm like, how grateful are we that we have electricity, right? Right. How great is it that we have this place where we can live and we have electricity and water and life's pretty good. And, hopefully, one of the biggest things I think that has been brought up and is the real divide between the people. And, I was a big fan, still a big fan of Kennedy. I learned that from him. I didn't realize this divide. I mean, obviously, people had their positions, but the divide was getting wider and, you know, it looks like there was a concerted effort to create it. Right, whether it's through, you know, topics like the border or abortion or whatever it is, these things that really drive people apart. And, regardless of what we feel, we have got to. I don't actually feel like I have a huge problem in this, but I think in general, I think we all have to try to learn to love one another, right? Be friends. I call my buddy, he's very passionate for his dislike in certain things. I do get it, but it's so passionate that sometimes I find that a little difficult to like be around. But I called him this morning and, you know, he was annoyed. Now him and I both agree that, you know, we have to, as you know, humans, right. As people that live in a community, in a town, in an area, we have to start finding the things that we agree on more than the things that we disagree on. And we have to get back to, or we should, I'm not going to say we have to, but it would be nice if we could try to start to, you know, get along. I will say in my world that most of my, I don't have a huge problem with not getting along with people. Really a lot of this is sort of put out there in the news and, you know, in the politics and the, you know, all the stuff that goes along with it, these narratives, and, you know, some of them might be true. Some of them may be true more than others. I am amazed that they're one of the big things for this. It was like for yesterday was this no voter ID. Like some places I guess don't have voter ID. I mean, I voted, walked in. First thing they said is, can I see your driver's license? And I was like, here you go. So I don't even know if that's a real issue. So it's hard. I'm still trying to figure out what are things we need to argue about and not argue about. But I do think one thing is we need to start to try to just be kind to one another, right? And start to find some humility. My biggest problem I've always had with Trump is his inability to find humility. And maybe he does it privately. I wish he could have taken a few more opportunities when he had a chance to be a little more humble. But listen, he is what he is, and he is maybe that serves him well in his world, or has served him well in his world. I just wish we could have had a little more of that. But like I said, it is what it is. I'm fine. Woke up. You know, here I am. I will go to work. You know, my biggest challenge I'm working with is my father. Real quick, got him a couple of doctor's appointments last Monday, yesterday and on Monday. Found out, you know, trying to figure out ways to try to make him feel better or help him. He was happy, so that was great. You know, these things, you know, I have a lot of stuff that I'm just trying to hang on to, keep my head above water right here, right? And it has nothing to do with any of the hot topics talked about in the election. You know, I got to be there for my dad. You know, I got to take care of his place. Got to manage his finances. Got to manage my brother. Got to manage work, family. You know, these are all the stuff that's, you know, what's most important to me. And but I do think, you know, we just got to try to, you know, try to heal the divide if that's possible. And, you know, we'll hope for the best.
Sometimes I feel like I'm falling, fall back again, fall back again, fall back again, fall back again. It seems a struggle between what we think, what we see. I'm going to change my ways just to please you or appease you. Inside a crowd, 5 billion proud, willing to punch it out. Right, wrong, weak, strong, ashes to ashes, all fall down. I look around about this round about. Merry go round, around. If at all God's gaze upon us falls, a mischievous grin, look at him. Forget about the reasons and the treasons we are seeking. Forget about the notion that our emotions can be swept away. Forget about being guilty, we are innocent instead. For soon we will all find our lives swept away. Oh, sit a while with TV's hungry child, big belly swelled. Oh, for a price of a coke or a smoke, keep alive those hungry eyes. Take a look at me. You see in me, mirror, look at me. Face it all, face it all again. Forget about the reason and the treasons we are seeking. Forget about the notion that our emotions can be swept away, kept at bay. Forget about being guilty, I am innocent instead. Well, soon we will all find our lives swept away.
Seek Up Live, Dave Matthews Band. Great, great song. Sort of appropriate for the time. But yeah, man, it is over. Hopefully we can move on and start doing some other things. And yeah, I wanted to sit down. You know, I wanted to do the podcast yesterday. Didn't get a chance. I was doing a bunch of stuff with my dad and just didn't have an opportunity. And I was like, I would definitely want to do one today. And then I realized, oh, it is the day after the election. So it wasn't a whole meant to be about the election, but it is what's going on. But I did go to the meeting on Monday. I'm a big fan of that meeting. Shared before that every first Monday of the month, we revert back to the steps. And, you know, I was at the meeting. And I'm like, I wonder what step it is. I forget. And then I'm like, I think it's 11. Right. I can remember a few months ago being under a tree on 9, and I think I was away on 10, and then here we are, and sure enough, it is 11. A lot of people struggle or don't find this step. Not a big fan of this step. I think that this step, for me, really exposes how well I have worked these steps. You know, it's kind of interesting. I do think recovery is fun, funny because we kind of come in, and I shared this the other night. You know, the book says Alcoholics Anonymous, right? And I've talked about this plenty of times, but that big Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, I'm here because of it, right? Alcohol, getting caught too much, my fucking being an idiot, you know, led me to this place, right, where there was hopelessness, right? And we get to a place where we have no other options, right? We're in that corner. And we do decide, I did decide to go this path, right? Or else, right? And I don't want the or else. And but we come into the program, and and then once we're in the program, right, we get a book, right? Here's your book, Alcoholics Anonymous, big blue book. You know, it allows us to freely meander around the book. And, you know, I'm always like going to the end, like what's at the end? And the steps are sort of the same way. You know, we see them one individually, and then we also see them as a group of 12 steps. And, you know, I remember early on starting to work this program and these steps, looking at, you know, one, right, admitting I was powerless over alcohol. And, of course, that seemed like, right, and I would later learn that I didn't even really do the first step. I just assumed since I'm in AA that I've admitted this, and I really hadn't. I admitted that I had gotten my big mouth had got me in another jam, right? I admitted that, you know, I chose to go to the hospital instead of face my friends and my coworkers with another, you know, stitches and, you know, fat lip, right? I chose a chicken shit path, which was go hide in the hospital, right? But when I'm looking at it, I'm like, look at me. I have recognized my problem, and I'm willing to do something about it. And that's really not the case, right? My big fucking drunken mouth got me punched, and then my chicken shit had hit in the hospital. But it's easy for me to look back and say, oh, that's me admitting that I'm powerless over alcohol, right, and that my life's become unmanageable. And then, so I don't even really think I ever did a first step, right? I think I just kind of went with it. Obviously, I'm doing it because I'm here, right? Really, I had to step back and really admit, listen, you have a drinking problem, and it's not even just the drinking, it's a self-centered problem, and my life has become unmanageable to everybody else. The honest truth is I was pretty content with this shitty life, and so I had to really get honest. But when that first step, those first three steps, you know, finding a God, I struggled with that, right? I didn't have any confidence in that. I just went with it. And then the third step seemed complicated. I just sort of glazed over and went with it. But I'm always like looking at the back, looking at the end. 11th step, you know, sought through prayer and meditation to improve a conscious contact with God as we understood him, I think is what it says. Let me read the official. I don't want to miss any words. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And early on when I read that, I was like, whoa, like what the hell does that mean, right? You know, there was an 11-step meeting I used to go to, and at some point we'd go to the meeting and then you'd have to, you know, meditate for 5 minutes. We'd read everything and then we'd meditate for 5 minutes and then share. And, you know, at the meeting I went to on Monday, people would say, I remember going to that meeting and 5 minutes felt like 5 hours. And And it is interesting to hear everybody's perspective on this step. And listen, to each his own. Whatever works for you. But I know for myself, I painted this step in this process and the act of meditation and prayer. I painted such a big picture, like in a picture. The picture was of, you know, me closing my eyes, crisscross applesauce, and having direct line with God. But I've shared in this podcast before, I've really had to repaint, right? Recreate what the relationship it is that I have or think of God. You know, I thought of him as this, a man, right? A man in the clouds. And he actually looked over us and he did, you know, he would talk to us, to the selected ones, right? I just couldn't figure out how to become one of the selected ones, but there was communication. And I was like, God, that sounds, for a self-centered guy, and I had to say this in the meeting, you know, I have to remind myself that my problem is not alcohol, right? My alcohol is a character defect of me, right? My problem is I make bad choices, right? I make bad choices that serve self or what I think is self. And, you know, and I paint pictures of situations and ideas that serve self, that serve me, right? I mean, if I'm going to paint a picture of a God and the relationship that I would have with him, it, whatever it is, it's going to be one of, here, dear God, I need this. Yes, here, I'll fix that, right? Because that's how I have in every relationship. Any relationship I have, but you know, before getting sober, was always, what can I get out of this relationship? What does this relationship make? How does it make my life better? And you know, I've had to repaint it, but I didn't even know what to start painting. So what did I do? I just started working the steps, right? And not perfectly, right? I didn't do them right. Didn't do them wrong. You know, the me, you know, it's like a mole. I may have said this before, but a mole takes on a life of its own. A mole is like a sauce, a Mexican sauce, and I'm not a big fan of mole, but, you know, a lot of these traditional moles are made, you know, however they make it, and then at the end of the day, they take the mole, right, from yesterday, and that is the base for the new mole for the next day. So it's continuously growing, right? It's not, you know, it changes, but it's always built on the day before's mole. And, you know, that's how I feel these steps are. You know, I came in, read the steps, started working with them, thought I had a pretty good idea of it, buzzed through them, right? But they were all based on this relationship with the God that I thought of, right? And, halfway through, right? And halfway somewhere down the line, I was like, forget it. I don't even know what God is. I don't know. It isn't working. And I had to, you know, it's like riding a bull, man. You just have to ride the freaking bull until it finally, starts to chill out and you can, or riding, maybe breaking down a horse, right? Breaking a horse, right? You get bucked off, and then finally the horse starts to settle down. I start to settle down. A relationship is created and there's a new understanding. And that's sort of how these steps at me and my relationship with God have been. It's just this constant jumping on the horse, getting bucked off, scratching my head like, what's the matter with this? And over time, you know, giving in and surrendering and just sort of letting the steps and the work start to paint the relationship, paint a picture of God and the relationship I have today, which is so much different, right? And you know, like I said, you know, when my relationship today with God, there is no conversation. There's just feelings. It's just nuances in my heart, right? You know, I was thinking about this last night. You know, there's, you know, when it's all said and done, like I've said before, all this program wants us to do is just be really good people, right? And I think in general, we're probably just naturally really good people, right? I wasn't a really good person before, you know, I went down this path. I was a nice young kid, right? Had a great family, me, my brother, and my parents. We ate dinner at home. We ate dinner together. We played outside. We raced BMX bikes. I mowed the grass. We made our bed sometimes, right? Sometimes I ate breakfast in bed. We had our ups and downs, but I was a normal person, right? I was kind-hearted. It was just this love for partying and, you know, being introduced to a group of people where I felt like I fit in, right? And, you know, the same old story. I didn't feel like I fit in anywhere. And with the alcohol and the drugs and this group, I started to fit in and have a community and And I liked it, right? I liked it. But inside of me, somewhere in there, is still a really good person. And the steps have allowed me to get back on track. But, you know, today I look at this step and you know, this is, and I shared this in the meeting, you know, the 11th step is something that I just do every day. It isn't, and it's because, right, it's because I have worked these steps, right? I have, you know, through the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, 8th, and 9th, realized, you know, my moral inventory, right? You know, I shared in the meeting, you know, step 10 and 11, I've sort of kind of squashed together. You know, I think step 10 is continue to take personal inventory when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. I sort of look at step 10 and as part of 11, which is continue to take a spiritual inventory, right? And when I was wrong, promptly admitted it, and then try not to do it again, right? So I've kind of made a 10.2, right, step. And because, you know, there's also been a time where, you know, and I've shared, you know, I've made mistakes and knew better, right? But now I've been given the green light. Hey, I've made a mistake. I'm sorry, right? I apologize. But now, today, and when that happens, like, I'm sorry, but it's still, like, there's anxiety and pain and suffering in my heart because I know I've done something which I shouldn't have. It's created fear. It's affected a relationship in one way or another, you know? And so today, like, you know, I use the 11th step as sort of my guide to the day. You know, it's not meditating, but I just sort of plan it out, and I sort of try to realize where there's going to be ups and downs in my day. Right. And I sort of identify the spirits that I call them that are going to show up. You know, inconvenience is one. Jealousy can show up. You know, they're all different ones. Right. But I just have to plan, you know, like if I, you know, obviously I'm a hairdresser, so I'll look at my clients and I'll be like, okay, this lady's, you know, and that's the one thing about my job is that, you know, I'll deal with six different people in a day. All six different personalities, all up and down, right? All different things, people dying, babies being born. Who knows what's coming in this six people? But, you know, it's sort of my job is to, one, you know, do their hair, but, you know, is to be an ear, right? And try to have compassion and listen. And you know, it's amazing what people, clients will tell me, right? So, but I have to look at the day and I say, all right, this is the day, right? And this is what I need to do. You know, this could be a tricky situation here. Let's be prepared. You know, if I have a full day and there's a couple clients in there that are sort of big that are going to, you know, really press the threshold of the appointment time, I have to say, all right, you know, when this person comes in before, let's get ahead of it. Let's try to, you know, a little less chit-chat, right? Get it going. Maybe we'll chat more in the process of doing the coloring of the foils or whatever it is I'm doing. But, you know, because I know I want to get done a little earlier with that client, so I have an extra time. I have, because when I don't, right, and let's say that same situation happens. Someone comes in, I chit-chat too much, their hair takes a long time, and the next thing you know, I'm running into the next appointment, and then I'm sort of jumping through my ass, and I'm apologizing, and fear shows up. You know, I've done that for years. And when that fear shows up and that anxiety, you know, it talks about how God speaks through me. That's God, right? Because what if I call God now? Peace, love, and free of fear, right? Peace, love, and free of fear. That's the state I'd like to be in 24 hours a day. Peace, love, and free of fear. But, you know, when a client takes too long and then all of a sudden the fear shows up, my concern for the next client, I'm going to run into their appointment. You know, early on, this could change the whole freaking day. You know, the whole day I could be running behind, right? And fear and anxiety is all throughout the day. And then at the end of the day, I'm miserable, you know, exhausted spiritually, mentally, physically, because I've just been jumping through my ass all day. And I don't like to live like that, right? And so the 11th step to me is, you know, I look at the day and I plan for it and I meditate about it, you know, but I'm not sitting in front of, you know, chimes and shit. I'm out, you know, whether I'm walking, you know, kicking back, having a cup of coffee. I plan it out. You know, I meditate, and this is for me. I don't, you know, meditation, I know it can be several levels of types of meditation, really deep, leaving, going on mental, spiritual journeys. I'm not quite into that, right? I feel like that's a little bit self-serving. I just want to use meditation to sort of walk through the game plan of the day and prepare myself where I need to be aware. you know, it's like a rally car driver. You guy steering, right? And then you got the fucking guy on the side road, you know, 20 meters, take a right, you know, 10 meters, take a left. And this guy's going 100 miles an hour, and this guy's just guiding him and through the whole way. And that's sort of how I treat meditation and prayer. You know, and then when situations come up, I only have one prayer. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. And that seems to sort of keep me grounded. But, you know, the meditation, the humility, right, to say, okay, that could be a challenging, right? This could be a niche situation. This isn't going to take long. I sort of have to man the day, because when I do, I don't get behind. I don't have to hear comments, right? I don't have to make a comment that I'm going to regret. And at the end of the day, it's just peace, love, and free of fear. And so I appreciate the 11th step. I appreciate the ability to take time to sort of sit down and look at the day and how it's going to work for me. And, you know, because I do believe, you know, it's all spiritual, right? And when I do sit down, I'm like, all right, these are the spirits that are going to show up. You know, we have to be prepared. Because, you know, I get too many weird spirits going on, and I can get out of sorts. And not only at work, but once I get home, I can be grumpy. And I don't want that, right? I don't want that, because that's exact opposite of what I am trying to actually do today. And so, yeah. But I tell you, you know, the weird thing about it is I haven't, you know, it's only been in the last few years I've started to use that as that. I really have just put the you know, the brakes on the 11th step for a long time, because I just, you know, it was always about trying to serve me. And I've given up on that. You know, first of all, I understand it. That's my problem. Self-centered, right? And everything that I do in my life has always been about serving me. And I have to start recognizing it. And once I started to do that, then I understood and started to, you know, redefine what God is for me, right? There's no talking. It's just a state of mind and a place and a being. And, you know, then all of a sudden I start recognizing how these tools work, and, you know, that's awesome, but you know, it takes time, right? And, but I have, you know, at the meeting, there's some people in there with lots of time, and, you know, they say, I'm just not into this step. I'm just not into God. And I'm like, you know, that's weird, right? I just, you know, to each his own, but I sort of get a little judgy and I shouldn't. All right, let's see. Yeah. So anyway, that's my, just wanted to, that's my thoughts. I hope everyone's sort of hanging in there and not getting too stressed out about it. We will make it. We will be fine. Let's just be kind, right? Be patient with each other. If you're a big Trump fan, you know, it's probably not a good time to be like, ha-ha, right? We can refrain from that stuff. We just need to start to close this divide and start to become, you know, one country again, I hope. All right, daily reflections, and then I'm out of here. I don't really have anything to do, but we'll see. November 6th, going with the flow. Thought through prayer. See, this is so funny. Okay. I have not read this. I have not seen this, right? I have no idea. I have not read the daily reflections today. I know nothing. And today's daily reflection. Thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. I mean, really? Can you believe that? God works in amazing ways, right? Let's see what the book says about it. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 96. The first words I speak when arising in the morning are, I arise, O God, to do thy will. This is the shortest prayer I know, and it is deeply ingrained in me. Prayer doesn't change God's attitude towards me. It changes my attitude towards God. As distinguished from prayer, meditation is a quiet time without words. To be centered is to be physically relaxed, emotionally calm, mentally focused, and spiritually aware. One way to keep the channel open and to improve my conscious contact with God is to maintain a grateful attitude. On the days when I'm grateful, good things seem to happen in my life. The instant I start cursing things in my life, however, the flow of good stops. God did not interrupt the flow. My own negativity did. Yep. That's right. We decide. I decide. Right? I decide. And that's sort of why I use meditation, is sort of plan my day, look for the sinkholes and shit, and be prepared for them. And, but yeah, man, 11th step is great. enjoy. I hope everyone has a great day. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Seek up an emotion, our cup is overflowing. Seek up an emotion, sometimes your whole world is dry. You seek up a big monster for him to fight your wars for you. But when you find his way to you, the devil's not going. Look at me in my fancy car and my bank account. Oh, how I wish I could take it all down into my grave. I'd say, take a look again, take a look again, take a look again. Every day things change, basically they stay the same. Forget about the reasons and the treasons we are seeking. Forget about the notion that our emotions can be swept away. Intentions are not wicked, don't be tricked into thinking so. Soon we will all find our lies swept away. Seek up an emotion and your cup is overflowing. You seek up an emotion, sometimes your world is dry. Seek up a big monster for him to fight your wars for you. But when he finds his way to you, the devil's not gonna.